Welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I am Love, and I am here with my co-host...
Thunder. Dun, yeah. Dun, dun, dun. If you were the god of something, what would you be the god of?
Love. I'm just kidding.
like god. It's like Kayla, god of
sexiness.
I wonder if that would, I feel like that just doesn't roll off the tongue.
God of anxiety.
God of just
god of
cool
hyperfixations on TV shows.
God of just getting it done and having the, yeah, going.
God
going
of,
for it.
I'm trying to think of something that's like my brand.
God of cassettes.
God of VHS. I am the god of someone is listening to this right now being like, oh my gosh, they're saying they're the god of something.
What are we, Kanye West? What's going on here? Well, you know, there is a god of thunder, and he's made four solo movies, and we are talking about the fourth one today on this episode of Secondhand Film Critics. Wouldn't you believe it? But before we get into that, we need to talk about our question of the week last week, which last week we asked because last week we covered three Wes Anderson movies. They were Tenenbaums, Life Aquatic, and Darjeeling. So we covered those three movies. And because they all kind of end in those final slow motion sequences, we thought it would be fun to ask, what song would score the final slow motion sequence in a movie about you? So this is about you, not anyone else. Yeah, so we'll get into the answers that we got to that question right now. But if you want to skip just right until the Thor review, then you can go into the timestamp in the show notes. But let's get into it. I think we'll start. We thought a little bit harder about maybe what ours would be. So let's just give what ours would be now. Because last week we were like just kind of spitballing. But I think we have more definitive answers. So what is your answer to this one?
I think that this is the best song possible to end any movie with, but specifically a movie about me, because obviously a movie about me would have to have the best song possible to end a movie with, because it would be the best movie
ever.
Yeah,
of course.
And that is Wake Up by Arcade Fire.
Wow. And it would wake the audience up out of their seats.
Sure. Sure. Are you familiar with that song?
No. Why don't you just hum me? You can hum me a little bit.
It's like, it starts with a guitar, and it's like an electric guitar, and it's like, but it feels like you're flying, you know what I mean? Like, it feels like an adventure, like you're like,
if we were less lazy, we could put the music in this episode, but we definitely just won't do that.
You would know it if you heard it. I'm sure you've heard it before.
I'm sure. I'll listen to it right after this.
It's good. It's fire.
I'm sure. I think for me, maybe I'm too thinking too much about like, in like the movies we just talked about, this, because this would definitely work in those movies, but I think this is a good one. I think Wild World by Cat Stevens. I think that'd be a nice one.
You know?
It's got a nice, like, more melancholy, but it's still like the chorus is a little bit more driving, because I feel like for the end of a movie, I mean, there are songs that end like movies that are like, they give you like this adrenaline rush, you know, but I would want one that's a little bit more like final feeling, you know. I don't want it to be like
sad.
No, not sad, just like, because I feel like all of the ones too that we talked about last week are not sad, but they kind of have like a sense of finality, you know.
Sure.
So I think that would be what I would want. But let's just talk about what our listeners said, because that's what everyone actually cares about, not our stupid songs.
Yeah, no one wants to hear from us. Why would they listen to a podcast with us talking?
So this first one, I'm gonna go with Mike. He said a sad version of Island in the Sun by Weezer, which we were talking before this, I think just Island of the Sun would be pretty great.
I think that would be a perfect ending song.
That would be like a Little Miss Sunshine kind of movie. Like, I feel like that, like, Sundance indie movie vibe.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think, like, is there a sad version, or is like, it just like a general like key? Sad version? That would be really depressing. I'm just like imagining what that would sound like. Or would it be like in halftime? I'm just really confused what it would sound like, I guess. What are the lyrics too? I don't even know the lyrics.
Here, I'll read them to you right now.
Okay, bye. Let's see.
Hip 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 hip
hip hip.
Okay.
I know those lyrics.
When you're on a holiday, you can't find the words to say all the things that come to you, and I want to feel it too. On an island in the sun, we'll be playing and having fun, and it makes me feel so fine, I can't control my brain. Hip, 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 hip.
Hey, you know, this isn't a shot at Weezer, but that totally sounds like it would be like, it sounds like you're reading like a kid's picture book to me right now. Like, that's what it feels like.
Well,
you know?
I probably, like, I have a cadence that's like a kid's picture book.
The cadence did work that
that's
too.
That's my, I could read anything and it would sound like a kid's picture book because I read so, like, I nanny, so I read so many kids' books to, like, out loud to a six-year-old.
But, you know, if that's what will work for his life, I don't know his life, maybe that sad version of Island in the Sun is just the perfect way to describe that. So, that's all good by me. What other answers?
So Danny gave us two. So
wow, come on, man. We're trying to keep the length down.
I know. He just,
and one of the songs is a 2-in-1 song.
So
he really gave us three.
Yeah, Chance the Rapper's Finish Line / Drown.
This is the last song on Coloring Book, right? Like, this is like the ending.
I think so. I know. I mean, it's on Coloring Book. I think it's the final song.
Yeah, well, anyone that would end their movie in with a song from The Big Day just doesn't deserve to have a movie made about them,
sure.
I think. Like, what about, like, Hot Shower ending
the movie? Oh, my God, could you imagine? Oh, boy. Yeah, so
funny.
The lyrics for this one are do 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 do.
I like this idea.
Do.
Just read the lyrics. This is funny.
And we back and we back and we back and we back. This is like a Dr. Seuss. Do do
and
do
we
do
back,
do
and we
do
back.
Do.
Yeah, but this song I think would be fun.
I think
I think it does. It's like the end of the mixtape, so it does have that kind of ending feeling.
I think
too.
This one definitely works. I can see it. He also said Moon Boy by Bennett Coast, which I don't think
I never
either
listened to this
it.
Until now. I listened to a bit of it before we recorded. It sounds pretty cool. There's a lot of different stuff going on. So I don't know, like, from which part of the song he'd want to take it. Maybe like when the drums come in, or that there's like a key change. So there's a lot of but I think maybe all the parts would work for different sections. So I would just have to see, I guess, depending on the scene, which section of the song we go with. But
yeah,
that also one, you know, definitely less well known, like not a big artist or like huge artist, so cheaper to get too, which is always a win.
Yeah, pop,
you know,
this into an A24 movie. Maybe A24 is producing Danny's life.
And they can't afford the Chance the Rapper needle drop, so
they gotta do Moon Boy by Bennett Coast.
The second choice, we have Zach Smith here. This one is definitely not one I would have chosen, but, you know, again, this is some people, this is his life.
It's his.
Are you
who
you want to be? This is Happy
this
Song.
This is real. This is me. That's what I should have done.
A lot of songs about people's lives that have been written, but this song is Happy Song by Bring Me the Horizon, which I feel like this is like, I just rewatched Dazed and Confused. I feel like this would be like a similar way to that ending of the movie, you know?
I haven't seen it.
You gotta end it.
I believe you.
It ends on Slow Ride. Do you know the song Slow Ride?
I do.
Yeah.
The one
I feel
like
you would know that.
Slow Ride. Take it easy. My dad would sing that one.
I've been listening to it the last few days after I rewatched. I feel like it's one of those movies where, you know, you get one, you pick a song from it every time you rewatch. But that's not even what we're talking about. What are the lyrics to Happy Song?
I've got some good ones for you here.
Okay, great.
SPIRIT, spirit. Let's hear it. S-P-I-R-I-T, spirit. Let's hear it. Let's go. I've had enough. There's a voice in my head says I'm better off dead.
Wow.
L.
I can't believe a Bring Me the Horizon song has a ironic title. Who would have thought? That's crazy. This song definitely wasn't written by any airline guests because no one would be excited to fly Spirit. So that's a bummer. On Twitter, we got Dan. He said, Find the River by REM. You know, this one definitely feels like a little bit more of a classic ending. I feel like for me, this is too melodramatic for my life. I'm not a melodramatic. I am melodramatic, but maybe like my movie, I wouldn't want to be melodramatic. I don't know.
Sure.
But, you know, I could definitely see this working basically probably even like a regular needle drop in a movie. But it definitely would work at the end of a movie too, obviously, you know. We have a lot of like class, like rock set, rock adjacent songs or like that we're kind of doing here. So I feel like that's the theme, except for Chance the Rapper holding down the fort.
Kind of like there. Breakfast Club vibes.
In a way. You think Breakfast Club would have ended with Island in the Sun and fist pumping like hip, hip, fist pump. That would be so funny. Someone needs to. Can someone edit that? Like, it starts when he kisses Claire, and then, like, it's moving. Or whatever the song starts. I don't know when the song starts in the movie. It might be, like, I don't know. But that would be so funny. Please, someone do that.
Paging Joe Miller. Paging Joe Miller.
Yeah. I'd love to see it. We will retweet it if you post it on Twitter. We promise.
And then Hunter said, with the grand finale here, it's raining tacos. And I've got some lyrics for you here for this one.
Okay, thank you.
It's raining tacos from out of the sky. Tacos, no need to ask why. Just open your mouth and close your eyes. It's raining tacos.
You know, this would be a good song to end maybe Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
If that's
or
what
maybe
your
the Lego
life is
movie.
Like.
Didn't they have like the Taco Tuesday joke in the Lego movie?
I could see
also
them using this in the Lego movie.
This song sounds like a Lego movie song. So yeah, maybe Hunter is actually a Lego.
Chris Pratt.
New theory. Chris Pratt. Hunter is Chris Pratt. We have a Chris Pratt is listening. Man, I'm surprised he hasn't tuned out at this point.
Speaking of Chris Pratt, he's in this movie.
What? He is for like 5 minutes.
For
but
literally
he's in it.
Like maybe even less than that.
Is that a spoiler? I feel like we kind of knew that.
It was all in the, trailer. You know how much? Yeah. Okay. Before we even talk about this movie, I mean, before we get into it, the whole trailer, all they put was freaking Guardians of the Galaxy characters in it. And then the Guardians of the Galaxy characters are in it for like literally not even 5 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I think after the second one, I knew that they weren't going to be in it a lot because, like, it showed him, like, being like, I need to go off on my own now.
Yeah,
it's like, okay, we haven't
still,
seen him do anything else. So
it's like, you
I
use them for your
marketing. I expected them to be in it more, for sure. At least, like, last year, like, maybe when I saw them on set, you know? And it felt like they were on set for a while, but maybe that was just the internet
a
just
marketing
constantly posting
ploy.
The same pictures.
A marketing ploy.
Classic.
They said... It'll
There's
be,
lots of marketing ploys that have gone on
they
in
said,
this movie.
It'll
let me
be
tell
gay
you.
And we'll have your biggest
Chris
fave
Pratt,
homophobe.
Your favorite two things. Oh my goodness.
Never thought you'd hear gay and Chris Pratt in the same sentence.
Maybe Chris Pratt went in the editing room and cut out like the gay scenes. I think that might have been what happened.
Yeah, they had to get him in this movie. He was like, sorry. Can't make it super gay.
First of all, we'll kind of just talk about some of the background, and we're going to just go non-spoilers first before our break, so you're all safe to listen if you haven't seen the movie yet. But do you want to read this synopsis I have written up here that will just kind of get us started?
I would love to.
Wow.
Fresh off the events of Avengers Endgame, Thor has joined the Guardians of the Galaxy in an attempt to pick himself up, I wish I could do the Korg voice.
I know, yeah.
And do this in the Korg voice.
Fresh off the events of Avengers Endgame.
Fresh off the events of Avengers Endgame. I can't hear it. That's more like... Wait. I'd have to hear him. If I, like, listen to him, I can usually like, replicate after, like,
I feel
listening.
Like I can replicate at the beginning, and then it just gets in... It's just a British accent after, like, a few seconds.
My brain doesn't, like, retain stuff, so I think, like, British accent, and that is not what comes out of my mouth. Okay, fresh off the events.
Fresh off the events of Avengers Endgame.
Thor has joined the Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's just a British accent now.
I know. Wait, let me look up. Let me look up Korg voice. Korg. We're ridiculous.
Hey, man. Hey, fresh off the events of Avengers Endgame. Thor has joined the Guardians of the Galaxy in an attempt to pick himself up off the floor and get back to some classic Thor adventures.
Hey, hey, hey. Take it easy, Thor. This is my very good friend over here, Meek.
This is so funny.
Fresh off the events of Avengers Endgame. I can't do it. I just can't do it. I
think we just gotta go English. We gave it our best shot.
It's more like he just says stuff very lightly and very short. It's like fresh
it's like
off
you have
the,
to, like,
events
all
at
the front
of Avengers
of
Endgame.
Mouth. Fresh off the events of Avengers Endgame, Thor has joined the Guardians of the Galaxy. It's like you like purse your
Thor
lips.
Thor has
I don't
joined
know.
The Guardians of the Galaxy. Hey, mate, piss off, ghost. Okay, fresh off the events of Avengers Endgame, Thor has joined the Guardians of the Galaxy in an attempt to pick himself up off the floor and get back to some classic Thor adventures. Unfortunately, the past tragedies he's endured have taken longer to get over than he thought, leaving Thor to wonder if he'll ever be the same again. However, his course is altered when he learns of Gore, a new villain who's vowed to slay all the gods using the cursed Necro Sword. When Gore sets his sights for New Asgard, Thor leaps into action, unaware that what awaits him is something much scarier than a supervillain, his ex-girlfriend.
Wow, so dramatic. Wow.
I had to, you know.
You'll hear back from us in a week.
I told you that I hyped myself up to being a storybook reader, and I was like, you know what? I got to pull out all the stops here.
You have to back up your words.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that's Thor 4. That would have been a funny name because it rhymes. Some quick background for this movie. There's not really like a ton of interesting stuff, but we just like to maybe get out of the way. But it is important to note, like, it was discussed and greenlit basically immediately after the positive reception to Ragnarok. Because, you know, like, one, I think one and two, obviously, like, especially two, had negative reception. One, I guess, was
bad.
More mixed. And then,
womp,
like,
womp.
I guess, like, and this Ragnarok at the time was definitely more of a, like, risk for them. So it makes sense that they would have wanted to wait to just see what people thought.
Well, and at the time they were taking a risk with Taika, too, because, like, he had only really been making sort of, like, very indie films. So,
yeah, that is crazy. That, like, it was not long ago that he was, like, just a very small filmmaker still. Man, what we can't talk, but. If I could only go back, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but they officially all signed on July 2019, and that was when it was announced that month at Comic-Con that it was coming. I remember this on Twitter that there was an expected release date of November 5th, 2021 at the time, which got moved like three times. And then it was also confirmed here. I didn't know this, but this is, I guess, when they said Natalie Portman would be reprising her role. I guess I just, like, wasn't paying attention.
Yeah,
because, like,
I
feel like I didn't know that until, like, this year. But I also just don't keep up with that as much.
Yeah, because I feel like that's, like, side Marvel news. Like,
you don't know how much too, like, sometimes they say that and it's like a flashback and then
or like an end credits,
right? But Actually, that's not what it is, because they have the Jane Foster's Thor plotline, which is in the trailer.
The Mighty Thor!
That came from Jason Aaron's Mighty Thor comics, which he actually read on the set of Ragnarok. Hmm. And so then when they approached him for the new movie, that he's like said that's what he wanted to do for it.
Fun.
So the first draft he did alone, and then after that, in February 2020, Jennifer Caton Robinson? The middle name is Caton, I think. Jennifer Caton Robinson. She helped with rewrites after that, and now she has, like, I think they have a co-writing credit together and a story credit together now, because, I mean, he only really did the first draft.
What did she write? Let me see. Oh.
She wrote a couple things, and she's actually a director and a producer, too. Like, she's done a lot of stuff. I looked, and then I forgot, and then I think she has a movie coming out.
Someone Great was so bad, though.
Oh, yeah. I didn't mind that one. What was the other one she did?
She did Unpregnant.
Right. That was the one that I liked. That was a good one, too. That was better than Someone Great. And I think that one definitely has similar... Like, I can see why she maybe was drawn to, like, work on this, because that has, like, kind of similar humor, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, very dry humor, if I remember. So, I can...
Well,
I think
and she
that
seems to,
match.
Like, really focus on friendships. Like, that seems like an important part of her writing is, like, a friendship thing going on.
Good point. Yeah, and so they began in October 2020. Apparently, I didn't know this, but they used the same stagecraft technology that The Mandalorian used.
Yep.
But they just used more LED panels and it put it at a higher resolution, which I guess makes sense because
yeah,
it's like
so far,
it'll be on a bigger screen.
So like Marvel has been able to use it, and then Star Wars. So they're the movies that have been able to use it. And now they built, this is like totally different, but they built the new stagecraft in, like that one had been in California, the one that they've been using, and they built one in Toronto. I think Vancouver, somewhere in Canada where they make movies. And yep. Percy Jackson is the very first show to be using it.
That's cool. So that's still Disney, though. So they still have, like, that all on, unlocked.
But it's, like, the first one outside of, like...
Right.
Which
like
goes
Marvel
to show how much they're, like, really expecting Percy Jackson to blow up, which it will, obviously. And so it's cool that, like, they're not just using it for... Marvel and Star Wars now that like it's kind of expanding a little bit, even if it's still within Disney, I guess.
Right. I mean, I guess it makes sense they want
because it's
like,
good. I think
stuff,
it looks. I think the stuff that I've seen with stagecraft like looks really good.
Yeah, I think we'll talk about the visual effects in this movie, but I think a lot of the visual effects aren't really to do with that as much as just like other visual effect elements.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that is what went wrong.
No, definitely not.
But we're recording this on Saturday night, so we only have the Thursday and Friday box office. So, sorry to all my box office fans out there. Mm. But Thursday night, it got $29 million, which is the fifth biggest for an MCU movie, behind Endgame, No Way Home, Infinity War, and Doctor Strange 2. So, with all the talk of people being like, Marvel is dying, which, like, I mean, I have no stake in that game, but it's obviously people... are still very excited because No Way Home, Doctor Strange 2, and this one are all in the last, like, less than a year. So people are still showing up. Friday, yesterday, it got $69.5 million. So I think it's expected to, like, do pretty well. Maybe, like, probably similar to Doctor Strange 2, I guess. I mean, it's a little too early to say, but it's doing well, at least for now. So, and I think the Thursday night thing, too, was more the most interesting.
I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess... people liked Ragnarok, and it's been a while. What Thor, last time we saw him was Endgame, so it's been a while since... And Guardians of the Galaxy, too, like you said.
Yeah, and people like Guardians, people like Taika, you know? It's like, there's just a lot of things that people like that are in this movie.
A lot of intersections. Mm-hmm. So, going into this, it's weird about expectations, because I think if you had asked me, like... 3 months ago, or when did the trailer come out? The first one. I guess even the first trailer was not really bad. So maybe if you asked me like May, April, I would have been said I was really excited for this one. This was definitely one of the ones I was looking forward to most, maybe from this phase, I guess, phase four.
Yeah. We both said it at the beginning of the year, right? In our like 2022, like what we were looking forward to. I feel like it was in that mix for both of us. Because this is one that, like you said, in this phase, like, it's familiar characters. So not that, you know, we had all these other establishing Shang-Chi, Eternals. So it's kind of going back to something that's expanding the universe, but with familiar characters. Mm-hmm. And so that's good. And mm-hmm. it makes you excited. And you're like, great. People I love, maybe not for me because I'm not a Thor fan. But
right, but you like everyone else involved, yeah, too.
And I like the idea of characters that I know. So I'm not having to, like, consume new information within the world and also consume new characters and, like, get to know new characters. Like, I can just consume the information with the characters I'm already, like, feel like I'm friends with, you know?
Yeah, it's like they're just developing them farther rather than starting a whole arc for them.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, we've talked about Taika a little bit in the podcast. I think we did one episode where we ranked all his movies until this one. And I think, I don't know actually at all how you feel about Ragnarok, but I don't love that movie. I think it's pretty good, but I think it feels like very toned down for his style.
Sure.
Like if you look at his other movies. And so I think, I mean, from everything they were saying with like how this was going to be, I read today, like to make sure, like he said this is going to be a lot crazier, you know, that's what they were promoting it as, like unleashed all the creative stuff. So I think, and that makes sense, I guess, because like you would think that they want to be a little more conservative in the first time, but like that did so well that it would make sense that they would give him more rein in this movie.
Sure.
I guess. So that's also, I guess, that's partly my own expectations, but partly like I feel like they kind of set that up too, where it's going to be like, they said that, like, it's going to be like Ragnarok, but, like, even way crazier, like, 10 times. Like, that's what they said.
Yeah.
Which is partially marketing, but also partially, like, it does make sense. And, I mean, not to get into everything, but that definitely didn't happen. at least not in the way that I think anyone wanted.
Yeah.
Theater experience, nothing really happened. The only good thing, actually, there was a guy next to me, a dad, he was with his family, he was like probably like 60 and maybe like late 50s, I don't know, but he was loving this movie. He laughed at every joke.
Wow.
He sang to every song.
Aww.
All the lyrics, he was so happy. The ending song, the Sweet Child of Mine, he was like,
I love that song.
He was singing it, and it was,
that's so
honestly
cute.
Was pretty nice.
I love that for him and his
so
family.
That was a great theater experience for me, because usually like that can be annoying, but who doesn't love a dad singing like some classic rock?
Yeah, I didn't have a ton of expectations. I was excited about it. I am not a super big fan of Thor Ragnarok, not in the way other people are, for sure. I think if I were to like rank all the Marvel movies, it would probably be in the middle somewhere.
Yeah,
I think
that's
I gave
I
it
too.
3.5. I have a private Marvel ranking of movies I have seen in the past couple years that only has like 16 movies on it. And I have it right above Black Widow. So that's kind of, I feel like the best comparison of that movie for me is like, it's good, but it's nothing special to me. And unfortunately, I'm sorry to all the haters, but I don't like Thor. I just don't. And
not a big Thor guy.
He's my least favorite of the OG six.
The OGs.
Which I feel like is very controversial, because I think people would have him at least like in the middle, like the three or four slot. But I'm not a fan. And I'm really not a fan of the new Thor. I feel like as time has gotten on, like, his character has not grown at all from the very first movie, which this is something we can talk about, but from the very first movie to now, I literally feel like nothing has changed at all with his character, and that it's, he's just in the same flip-flop, I'm sad, I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm happy, and it's like, I just feel like there's no character growth or arc for him. And so that's kind of frustrating to me, because at this point, I feel like his shtick is just old. It doesn't interest me as much. There are aspects of this movie I was excited for. Obviously, seeing the Guardians again, because as much as we shame Chris Pratt, and joke about him. I still love the Guardians. I am a big Guardians of the Galaxy fan. And I knew the soundtrack was going to be baller, of course. And I thought the trailer was good. I liked the poster because we kind of steered away from the heads, all the heads on the poster. And
we saw full bodies. We saw their.
We saw a body, not just a disembodied head.
They were standing.
And I felt like it was artistic. So I liked a lot of the elements that surrounded the movie, but I wasn't like, you know, I thought it was going to be good or better than Shang-Chi, better than Eternals. Like, I was expecting, oh, we've got seasoned characters, we've got seasoned plots that we already have developed their characters, so we can just be a continuation. We've got a seasoned director, like, we've got it going on. But it just let me down. Theater experience was, I am in Ohio right now, so I have to go to a Cinemark instead of the AMC. And it was funny at first because what I do at the AMC, which I've said, is I go to the closed caption screenings because there's always less people there, and so I know I can kind of avoid crowds and, like, have less possible COVID transmission if I'm going to a showing that has just a couple people. And Cinemark doesn't have that option, and so I just went to a showing that still didn't have very many people because they had, like, a billion showings of this during the day. And it, like, was funny at first because when it first came on the screen, I was like, ugh! No captions. Like, I couldn't, because it helps me to process the information better if I can read what they're saying, just because of the way my brain works. And so it was funny watching all the most recent Marvel movies I've watched with subtitles. And so this was the first time I've watched one in a theater recently without subtitles. So that was just kind of interesting and different for me. But my audience didn't really react very much. I think there was maybe only two jokes that got a laugh out of people. I don't remember what they are off the top of my head, but I think one of them was in the Zeus thingy. The lady, there was like an older couple behind me, probably like in their 60s. And when it first started, I don't know that this is a spoiler, but like Gore's origin story is like his daughter dies. I feel like that's not a spoiler, right? Because it's in the first 2 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, it's fine.
And she was like, oh no, so sad. And I was like, this poor little
funny,
old lady.
But it's also kind of funny.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. It wasn't a special. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't feel like, I've said this before, it didn't feel like I was there to watch a Marvel movie. I think in the past, for first-time watches for Marvel movies, there always used to be this big energy, like you could feel the energy in the theater. And I don't know, I think I felt it a little bit with Spider-Man. But I would say all the way back to Endgame, like, I just haven't felt that way about a Marvel movie in the theater since Endgame, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, we can talk about that too towards the end. I think there's a lot of reasons for that, but just getting into some non-spoilers, obviously neither of us are, like, huge fans of this movie, if that's not clear. Like, I don't, like, it's not, like, my least favorite movie ever, but it's not like we really love it either. And there's a lot of reasons, I guess, story-wise, not spoilers. The whole thing just feels kind of, like, boring. That's the best way I can, there's just, like, it's very just, like, especially in the middle of the movie, the second act, like, it just feels like nothing is happening, and there is stuff happening, but it's all just like so boring, and I don't really care all too much about what's happening until like maybe towards the end. And I don't know, it feels like they're kind of just sleepwalking through the movie. That's what it felt like a lot to me. They were just like going through the motions of like, this is what a Taika movie needs to be, so let's just do this. Like, that's what it felt like. Or like they watched Thor Ragnarok once, or like someone watched Ragnarok once and was like, okay, this seems like probably what you got to do to make a movie.
Yeah, it felt very set piecey and very gimmicky in the sense that it was just very blocked in little structures. And it was like, all right, we're doing this, and then we have this scene, and then we have to go back to this place, and then we have these characters, and then we have this person make a funny joke. And that's just what the whole movie to me felt like. Like, it didn't feel like there was a lot of depth within the story to me personally. It just felt like they took a story that could have been good and then they tykeified it in a way, but they overdid it. So tried too hard to make this movie. That is probably my biggest complaint, is I feel like this movie as a Thor movie and how Thor has been in the past and his character being this goofy, silly, whatever guy and the Guardians and the whole context of Thor, I feel like, is all just kind of a little more goofy than other Marvel characters or movies. And I feel like with this, they leaned into it too much that they totally lost everything else. And so it really just felt like they were trying so hard for these laughs and so hard to be different and so hard to, I don't know, do something creative. Yeah. That it was like, maybe dial it back in a little bit and focus it. Like, take all that energy and just focus it into a better, I don't know, like, it needed to have, it felt like, okay, here's what it felt like. It felt like, you know when, like, something explodes, or, like, you have a magnet, and all the little particles are, like, around, and you just need to bring all these particles back into the magnet, and you're trying to, like, get it all with the magnet, and it's like, just suck in, just center it. Like, that is how I felt, is like, there were all these pieces, but they just weren't centered. Like, they weren't balanced in the right way, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I think, like you're saying, there's just so many different little jokes that there's, like, nothing's really that funny, because, like, it just feels like they can never focus on a bit for, like, there's the goat bit, which that's not a spoiler, there's a bit with goats, if you've seen it, you know what I mean, and that's like the one time where there's like a bit that lasts longer than like a few minutes. Like, all the bits are like little, like, quip, and they don't like give stuff time to kind of let it sink in. It feels a lot like there's the first opening scene is good, and then I think some like that, maybe the second half of the third act is good, but a lot of the stuff in between that feels like a lot of just like SNL skits, just like stitched together.
Yeah, like, but like, not good SNL skits. Skit
with the guard. Yeah, well, I mean, SNL skits from like the last like 10 years.
Yeah,
I would say.
So like recent SNL skits, not like good old SNL.
No,
like,
yeah,
like modern, like, SNL.
Maybe 5 years. Yeah,
yeah.
We got an SNL skit with the Guardians, and then we got an SNL skit on about New Asgard, and then an SNL skit about their relationship, and it just felt like, just like skit after skit, but like none of the skits were that funny. And they also didn't get the point of a skit, which the point of a skit is like there's one joke and not like 20 jokes. And when there's 20 jokes, there's just like, then nothing's funny because everything's just like weird.
Yeah.
And it just feels off. Yeah. I mean, it's not like I don't think that he forgot how to be funny. I think they just like miswrote the movie completely. Like
they missed it. I don't think they understand what their audience finds funny. I think they were thinking it was funny, or maybe there's been jokes in the past, in like Korg jokes, for instance, because Korg is a funnier character. And I think
so funny in Ragnarok.
Yeah. And I think they kind of were like, oh, people like this, so let's just do it 10 times that.
That's a good point, because I love Korg, but in this one, I kind of was like, towards the end, I was like, all right, Korg is, I'm kind of good with this guy.
Yeah, like, they need to tone it down and let the humor speak for itself instead of being like, here, you're going to find this so funny. And it's like, no. Yeah,
I don't. I think, I don't know, too. This is one thing that I was kind of like thinking about while I was watching the movie, but there's been a lot of talk about like, how we've had like a movie like Batman where that, like, I think focuses on just like being like, it takes itself seriously, I guess, or like it just like is what it is. And maybe I'm not saying this in a great way, but I feel like this movie really was like made it clear to me how obsessed they are with like grounding the MCU in like modern day, like, now.
Yeah.
Like, it just, like, the whole new Asgard thing was the most depressing thing I've ever seen. Because I was, like, Asgard started out as, like, it's, like, supposed to be, like, a cool place and, like, space, and it's supposed to be, I don't want to be, like, it to be this tourist attraction that looks like a suburb that was built in 2 years. Like, it just is so, I feel like that also was kind of
Okay, I did laugh at the Matt Damon skit thing, though.
Well, that was funny, though, because that was funny in Ragnarok, too, because that's, like, and I think that's, like, a Shakespeare in the Park kind of thing. Like, that doesn't have to be centered, grounded in, like, now.
Yeah,
you know?
And I thought that was funny, and that is the type of thing that
was the that was, like, the funniest thing in the movie, actually. I think that was really funny, yeah.
Actually, our audience laughed at that, for sure.
Well, like, when there's that is a good example of them taking something that worked in the first one and, like, knowing how to build on it, but not, like, overdoing it, I guess. Yeah, that's a good, completely forgot about
I
that.
I thought that was funny. But yeah, like you said, I felt like all the stuff with New Asgard just didn't work.
Yeah, well, in Valkyrie, they, like, turn into, like, just, like, a regular person, and that was also depressing. Like,
well,
I don't know.
I have a lot of thoughts about that. But yeah, because she is so cool, and it's very disappointing that they kind of were just like, oh, let's put her in a sweater and act like she's bored. And like, because it just felt like she was giving off vibes of like she didn't like being the king, or she didn't like, you know, serving the people, which I feel like is not like her character at all, because her character really, like, assumed the role, and you would think, and I thought she was a good leader in some ways, for sure in this one, but I felt like a lot of the times they were just trying to make her, like, I don't know, a character that she's not for the sake of the gimmick, I guess. And then they were putting her in these, like, weird pop culture graphic tees. And I was like, why are we putting Valkyrie in a Phantom of the Opera sweater? Like, it just...
Yeah, that was stuff like that, too, the grounding thing.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't know. I just... It really confuses me. Like, that is just the main thing, is I feel like in Ragnarok, a lot of what's cool about it is the world building, and that other, like, planet they go to and all this stuff. And I feel like you just lose a lot of that when you put, like, use these other like settings, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm not sure, like, how much we can talk about, you know, because of spoilers.
Yeah,
so maybe just, like, I mean, like I said, I think it ends decently, and I'm like, it's like Christian Bale is amazing,
literally so good.
Like, he's really, and that's, like, with the performances, I think I text you this, but it's funny because Natalie Portman is a great actress, and Tessa Thompson is a great actress, and Christian Bale is great. And then, so, like, we have these three great actors, and then there's Chris Hemsworth in the center, and he just, like, does not step up to the plate, I gotta say. Like, he's just not made for a role like he's made for a role like this, but not, I guess, when there's, like, other actors that are better than him. I don't know. They just act circles around him the entire time.
I think probably some of that, too, is the writing. Like, I do think that he is not as good as any of the other people in this movie. But I also think some of that is writing of, like, don't understand the character of Thor, in my opinion.
Thor enthusiast. They're writing him like a side character a lot of the time.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Like,
where it's like he's supposed to be, like, the main guy. And, like, at the end, I think they kind of start writing him a little better, because it's like, oh, we have to wrap up the emotional arc, I guess. But for most of the movie, he's written like he's just, like, the guy, the comedic relief.
Yeah, they make him very dopey and kind of dumb, which doesn't make sense to me, because I have a very vague memory of the earlier movies, but I feel like in the earlier movies, he was not like that.
He had some
semblance of being a good leader and caring about the people and, like, having resilience and wanting to, like, fight and all that, and I think those were good qualities, and I think now a lot of that is lost when you're writing him, like, as this silly guy who's, like, my hammer. Oh, I'm gonna, like, shoot through the roof. Oh, haha, why is he writing on the whiteboard? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just, yeah, yeah. I just felt like Taika doesn't, I don't know, I mean...
Well, I feel like he just doesn't know how to write Thor, because everyone said in Thor 3 how great it was that they reinvented Thor, but reinventing is different than just writing him as a completely different character.
Mm-hmm.
And I think really in Thor 3, they just, like, completely rewrote him, which is fine, but I think, like, you also have to give your main character some emotional, like, depth. And I get maybe sometimes the point is, like, he, like, has a wall up and he's keeping all of his emotions in, but like it doesn't feel like that. It just feels like they just are writing him as just like a very one-dimensional
character. Well, and especially after his character in Endgame, like I feel like we already got a version of Thor that like didn't have a backbone.
Yeah.
And so yeah. I feel like we needed a version of Thor that was more improved than that version.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like this Thor was less improved. Like his whole thing yeah. scene with the Guardians, I was really confused because is this a spoiler?
I mean, we can maybe start. We might want to move into spoilers at this point, but generally, I think a lot of the time, like I just like you said, maybe at the beginning of the movie, I just was especially because they give like this whole monologue about his character. And the fact that I'm still confused about why he's acting like as he's acting is probably not a good sign. Because, yeah. like, they spend, like, 3 minutes explaining, like, his character arc from Endgame to the start of the movie.
Uh-huh.
And at the start of the movie, I still don't understand him at all. And I think, like, maybe by the end, it wraps up. But who knows? Because, like, I feel like maybe we thought that at the end of Endgame. But then this movie starts and it's like, oh, never mind. With Taika's other movies, it definitely is, like, just at the bottom for me. I think this is, like, easily his worst movie. Yeah, I mean, I don't have anything else to say. Like, it just is not he's made much better movies than this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it has, like, some good stuff to offer, but I just don't think it will be remembered at all. Like, if people remember Taika Thor movie, they're just going to remember Ragnarok
yeah.
stuff and not as much stuff from this.
Yeah, that's totally right.
All right, do you want to take a quick break and then we can just get into our spoilers because we feel like we just kind of keep wanting to talk about that.
Mm-hmm, sure.
All righty.
And we're back.
Right. So we were talking, I guess we can go back into talking about his character, Thor, that is.
Yeah. So in that opening scene with the Guardians, I was really confused because I was like, when did Thor go from being like, I guess kind of a little bit oblivious or not being able to like understand social settings to being, like, a complete absolute jackass and, like, being completely up in his head, like, egomaniac, I am the best. Like, I really did not understand that at all. And that really bothered me, like, for the whole rest of the movie when you give me the character like that from the beginning. And it's like... Yeah. Oh, yeah, you have to sit and watch this movie about this guy who's just being an asshole to everybody and is just, like, basically a terrible person and doesn't care about anyone but himself. Like, that was how I felt about it. Like, I know, obviously, he's grieving, and I think that's fine. Like, I think grief can be a journey for a lot of people, not to shame
the way that people grieve. I think grieving is fine.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's a good thing to include that in the storyline.
Yeah.
And I think it's fair to have him acting out as well. But I feel like it goes completely against his character to...
Well, like you said, he kind of felt like he already did that too in Endgame. Like, he already
acting out that he did before was never towards other people. His acting out was always self-sabotage. And it's weird to me that a character that is a selfless character would all of a sudden change from self-sabotage to, like, basically destroying everything in his path. And so I was like, does Taika not like, I just could not understand what was going through the writer's mind, like.
Well, what was, I think it, they just thought it was funny. That's what the problem. Like, well, and they that think, is because they think it's funny. Like, oh, funny because Thor is oblivious, and but like, I think it's like you have to think a little bit more.
Well,
about
and that is
the
what
character there.
What is so wild to me about this movie, because this movie is basically you're pitting Gore, who is also experiencing grief, against,
and a great villain too. Like, they really wasted him in this, because like, he is a good villain, I think.
Yeah. And I totally agree, because I thought he was amazing. You're pitting his paralleling story of grief against Thor's paralleling story of also losing people. Mm-hmm. And
a classic dual hero villain thing. Gotta love it.
Yeah, which is totally cool and works. But I feel like to make that work, you have to actually care about how you're presenting the person going through a grieving experience. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that was done sort of well for Gore. Like, I felt like I understood everything that he was doing because of his
grief.
Well,
I mean, they are making Thor so annoying that I also wanted to kill all the gods, kind of. I was like, you know, this sounds not bad.
Yeah,
I don't know what they're
and
doing.
I,
they're not really doing anything.
I was like, Thor obviously doesn't care about people either. Like, you're trying to act like, oh, this god's different. I don't know. He's not, obviously. He's, like, leaving paths and wakes of destruction everywhere he goes, being like, haha, I'm saving you. And it's like, no, bitch, you're an awful god. Like, shut up. That was just how I felt. Sorry. Sorry to anyone who is bothered by my opinion. But I just, it just bothers me because I feel like they're, this movie, with everything that was set up for it, so you have Natalie Portman's character grieving her, the loss of her own life, and then you have Thor grieving this relationship they had, and then his relationships, and then Thor and Gore, grieving his daughter, and like everyone else in the world,
Valkyrie
is
grieving
is
the end of their of Asgard.
Yeah,
you know, they could have had that. A lot
losing
of grief.
Her girlfriend. So I just think if you have all these plot elements that are great and these things that are deeper things that I think are themes that have been very recent in the MCU, you know, with Peter Parker and Doctor Strange, even like his grieving process. And I think that those are Wanda, obviously. WandaVision was all about that. I just think that like this movie seemed to not care about that. Like it almost sort of was a slap in the face to all these like deeper things by putting jokes all over it. Like I felt like there should have been more moments about these things that were actually taken seriously instead of like laughing about everything. Like I just felt like there could have been more nuance and more balance to the way that these things were talked about or the themes were introduced into the story without it being a big laugh fest, I guess.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the third act, because I think, I feel like a lot of that, the third act feels like a different movie than the first two. Like, I guess maybe more specifically, like, once he, I don't know where he went. Like, I guess the Eternity, that's what it's called. Like, once he gets to, like, the gate to Eternity, you know, maybe. Or maybe, no, maybe once it's, like, they get beat by Gore, you know, and Natalie Portman and Valkyrie, they get hurt, you know? They're hurting. They're in the hospital. Again, another classic, like, grounding it in reality. Like, they're in a hospital and they have a vending machine.
How many times has that joke been used? A billion.
Man. A classic vending machine joke. Yeah, I think that is where maybe it turns a little bit. And I think the ending is good. Like, how many times have we seen our hero is about to lose and then the other hero comes and saves them, you know? Mm-hmm. But I thought it was cool this time that, like, it had the added thing of, like, we're glad because she came to help, but, like, we also know it means she's going to die. And I thought, like, that was a cool, like, big character thing to play with. And then you have the whole thing at Eternity, which I think, like, that is probably the best he acted in the movie, Chris Hemsworth. And I'm always down for a nice adoption story, which was nice. And I really liked the end. I just like that. But I think it would be if I assume this movie is going to do well no matter what. So if they make another Taika Thor movie. I have a slight hope that it will be better than this, because he does a lot. He in the past has focused a lot about like surrogate parent and then like child relationships, you know.
He's also very good with kids. Like, yeah, stories so he I writes think about like, kids are very good.
The way that this movie ends feels like the way one of his other movies would open. With like this Thor and like the daughter, and I guess it's kind of, that is funny because like you think that they're getting ready to go to school, but they're getting ready to like fight like people. So like that feels like the opening to a Taika movie.
Yeah.
And I like that. So that's the only reason I'm like, I got to the end of the movie and I wish like that was the beginning of the movie, because it's like, man,
yeah,
I like where we are now.
That was the movie and not.
And then we're going to get to Thor 5 and we're going to get another 3-minute monologue that gets us to a completely different place. Like,
yeah.
The daughter dies in the first 5 minutes of the movie. It's like, oh, JK. But yeah, I really did like the third act, and I think it helped contextualize some of the movie for me, but it doesn't really negate a lot of like the boringness that I was just feeling, like especially in that Zeus scene.
Oh my gosh. The Zeus scene
was rough. I was sitting in the movie theater watching the Zeus scene, and I was like, is this what Tom Cruise saved movies for us to watch this?
That scene,
for us to watch Russell Crowe like in this like party city outfit, like
talking
on his
about
fake
orgies.
Stage. Yeah, this is not what I asked for.
Yeah, very weird. One of my main issues with it, and this kind of came back in the third act, is that I felt like the risk, like, I thought Gore was really good, and I thought Christian Bale was really good, but I also don't feel like they did enough with him. Like, I don't feel like they utilized his character enough. And I thought that all the shadow stuff was pretty creepy. I was thinking that some kids probably would get very scared by it and scared of shadows after
that. That was probably the best CGI, too, in that, like,
I agree.
The shadow stuff. I agree. Cool.
I liked the shadow stuff. I thought the shadow stuff was,
black
like,
and white.
So cool.
When I went black and white,
that was cool.
I was like,
that was cool.
Wow. That was a cool idea. Great
but
job.
I never thought that Thor would lose. Like, and obviously he's not going to, but, like, there was never an actual, like, oh, maybe he could, because they never actually showed us, apart from the very first god that he killed, they didn't show us this, the god butcher. Like, it was just like, oh, he's the god butcher, and then they showed us, like, two different clips that didn't even show us the clips of him, like, oh, all the gods are dead, distress calls everywhere. And then they show us this other character who I couldn't even remember who they were. Siv. I don't even know who she was. Like, was she in a
from
previous
the old
movie?
Thor movie?
Don't remember her at all. So I was
she
like,
was
I don't know what I'm
Thor
supposed to be feeling here. But
and
they didn't even show him killing anybody else. And so I'm like, you expect me to believe that from the time he killed this god to now that he's, like, supposedly killed all these gods. Ooh, the god butcher. Like,
you don't have
to, like, show him actually, like, slicing all these throats.
Well,
I
think
it's
what might have been is, like, instead of having the whole plot where they have to go get help from the other gods just to, like, not get help from the other gods, like, okay, like, glad we did this whole thing. They could have maybe, like, followed him to a different planet in where he's, like, slaying a god, and maybe they lose in that fight, you know, like he does defeat that planet.
Yeah, or they try to contact other planets and they realize that all their contacts are, like, dead, like something like that.
Yeah.
Just shows,
I mean, the movie's like only 2 hours, so they definitely could have had like some establishing stakes.
Yeah, I just felt like we never really got how bad this dude was. Like, I felt like
never
we
got
just
how can he be?
He was just doing what comes naturally. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like there were a lot of missed opportunities in this movie. I just felt like there were so many things that really just skirted on. Ooh, this is creative, and then it was like, like, that was how I felt about the Shadowland when they went to the black and white. I was like, ooh, creative choice. And then the whole scene, I was like, like, it just, like, story-wise,
well.
I felt like everything that they did, it was like, ooh, we're right there. We're right on it. And then it was like, no, we're all the way back here. Like, it felt like the script needed, like, someone else to come in, or I don't know, like
someone else, like a third writer.
Yeah, third writer, or like just someone to sort of rein in all these bits and pieces that were good.
Maybe someone that's not as much of a comedic director, you know, because they're both comedy.
Yeah,
so maybe like add a little gravitas.
Yeah,
speaking of missed opportunities, maybe we could talk a little bit about some of how gay this movie is, like how
super gay,
super, you know. Thank you, Natalie Portman, for that great Jesus. Is that a sound yet? That should be a sound on TikTok. Like, I feel like that could be used in some way. But yeah, we talked a little bit at the beginning, like expectation wise about how I thought this would be more creative Taika wise, I guess. But in the same breath, they were also at that time touting that this would be like a very gay movie, basically. Like, they literally said that, I think, like, very pretty much that exact phrase.
Well, and they I sent you that TikTok, and I watched a TikTok today from Jay Stoobs, who said that, which I knew that they had said it in all the marketing and press stuff. I didn't realize it was said, like, stuff before, about it like before.
It was like way early. Like, it was about Valkyrie, they said, about her girlfriend, right? Or like her romance, right?
Mm-hmm. And I was not aware of that as much. I knew that it was coming up like in the past couple months. I'd heard it. And I think I have a lot of thoughts about this, and I don't need to say all of them. But I just think it's really disappointing that Disney loves to pat themselves on the back for doing the literal bare minimum, and that they're all like, oh, we made this movie so gay because it's like the first movie that kind of talks about gay things a little bit more explicitly. But it's like, it's still not really representation when all your conversations are things that don't actually have to do with the story, and they're not actually happening in the story. So they're like, oh, like, my girlfriend this. And it's like, they probably think that's like, ah, we said the word girlfriend. And it's like, no, like, you're not, I don't know. It just was like, I think what they think they're doing is gay is not what's gay. And it's like, can you talk to a real gay person? Like, can you talk to someone from the LGBTQ community and like, see what they want? Because this is not it. Because I was literally, what I said and I tweeted is like, there are literally Hallmark Channel movies, like the Hallmark Channel, like
the actual Hallmark Channel,
like the Family Network, the like, who have even a more adverse reaction to this type of content than Disney was. Like, Disney is not losing money over having this stuff in their movies. Hallmark is. Like, Hallmark actually loses a large chunk of its viewership for putting these things in his movies, and they have better representation in their movies than a massive multi-billion dollar company that, like, I don't understand it at all, because I'm like, Disney, I feel like now, they think with this movie, they're like, wow, we're doing so good. It's so gay. It's super gay. It's like, this is what should have been in your movies 7 to 10 years ago. Like, maybe they probably wouldn't have put it in 10 years. 7 years ago, 6 years ago. This is what should have been in the movies, like this side character stuff we should have been getting like forever ago. Yeah, but basically I just think that like they are really behind the times if they're calling this representation, because I just think other studios are ahead of them now, and I think they really need to get their ass in gear and just put queer characters in their movies and make it a part of the story without forcing it, because so much of it felt so forced. Like, the whole conversation about the girlfriend and Korg, which, like, I'm glad they're establishing lore, and that's great, but at the same time, when you can have both, but it's like when it feels forced, that's when it's like, is it really representation? Like, is it, you know, because I feel like representation, obviously there should be effort in it, but it should feel effortless. So when you see it, you're not thinking, you know, like you're not overly thinking about it. Like it should just be there and be a part of it without it feeling like they wrote it. And then we're like, wow, people are going to love this because they're being represented. Like that was how I felt personally when I watched it.
Yeah, I think, well, there's a lot of things, but the one thing is like, I think it's not representation when you can take it out and the movie is the same, because you could take out all the stuff in this movie and it would be the same movie that it is now.
Mm-hmm.
I think they really shot themselves in the foot with saying, like really specifying that before they even wrote the script. And then they even made it worse, like doubling down on the press tour. Because I think if they had not really made a big deal about this, it would probably actually, like, I'm not saying this is good, but it probably would have been, maybe they would have got a couple of just, like, nice articles about it. Because it's like, oh, wow, they put more than one reference in the movie. Like, you know, maybe not, we wouldn't be praising it. But I think, like, they set themselves up for failure. I don't know why they were touting it so highly.
Yeah. When
it's like,
and that,
really,
that is my main issue with them, with Marvel as a whole, with all their queer stuff, and Disney too, is every time they do it, they're like, oh, we have a gay character. Oh, we did this. And it's like, why do you need to like announce it? Like, why do you need to pat yourself on the back for it? Like, can't you just do it and do it without being like, look what we did, guys. We gave you what you wanted. It's like,
I think one, they do it because it gets them press.
It does.
So that's an obvious cynical thing. And also I think a little bit, maybe like shareholder stuff, like give people like, because I think they're scared of the backlash if maybe they didn't say that, and then some family goes to see Thor Love and Thunder and they're like, you didn't tell me that someone was going to be gay in this movie. How dare you not warn me about this? So I think it might be a little, mostly though, just gets them good. It gets them press.
Which is why I think, again, Hallmark has more to lose, and Hallmark has doubled
they
down.
They have lost a little bit.
And I'm telling you, like, they lost Candace Cameron. Like, Candace Cameron, who is their biggest... I mean, I don't really like Candace Cameron's movies, but, like,
but she's biggest
her
star,
movies get the biggest ratings every year. And she went to a different channel because she didn't... Because she's a Republican. Like,
Candace Cameron, not a Thor Love and Thunder fan, confirmed.
And they, like, move on from that, and they double down on social media, like, in their comments. Their social media pages respond to people's comments that are like, I can't believe you would put this in a family channel. And they're like, we love all people. We respect all people. We want to make sure all people get seen in our movies. And it's like, Disney can't even do that. And it, like, I just think if the Hallmark channel can do it, like, I know I'm so hung up.
Hallmark can do it.
I know I'm very hung up on this, but it's so true. Is like, if you're familiar with the people who are in the Hallmark circles, like, and there was some controversy with Hallmark, like, a couple years, three or four years ago, where there was a commercial that aired on Hallmark channel of two lesbians kissing, and they removed the commercial originally because of the backlash, and then they were like, ooh, that was the wrong thing to do, we need to re-air it and put it back on, and they did, and they said at that time, we're committed to understanding and making change, and I think that they have made slow change, because I think we could have
more change
more
than Marvel has.
But I think that we can see from where they are now is we're now getting multiple leading queer storylines in Hallmark movies, which is something that we didn't have 3 years ago. And I just think, like, I just don't understand why Disney can't do it. I just, and not even that they have to have, like, a leading romance that's gay, but it's like, I, like, it just baffles me that they're still, I don't know, acting the way they are, that they're still writing the way they are, that that they're still patting themselves on the back and being like, this movie is super gay, and I'm like, shut up, shut up.
We should probably move on. We've been on this for a while, but yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there too that I think is good.
We'll share the TikTok video, because that one was good.
Yeah, nice, to the point. And like you said, it was informative. I guess the only other thing to talk about, I talked a little bit about, like, the future of Thor, I guess, because it says at the end, Thor will return. I know you didn't stay for the whole at the end.
I did. I ended up just staying.
Oh, wow. Look at you. Look at you.
I did stay, yeah.
So, like, we know he's coming back. I mean, if they decide to keep it with the story that they're setting up, I think that'd be fun. But overall, I think maybe a little bit with Doctor Strange and then a lot with this movie, I've seen a lot of people that seem like they're really just kind of done with Marvel. And I mean, I know we say this every time, and I know we also said this is the fifth biggest opening for them. So, like, I don't think they're actually done, but I do think they need something. They need to do something because, like you said, the excitement isn't really there for a lot of these things, a lot of the movies or even the shows. Like, after WandaVision, I really barely saw anyone talk about the other shows. And I think the difference a lot of times feels like there isn't a real clear reason for these movies right now. In the other phases, there was always like a build up. Like, this movie, Captain America, so now we know about him, so now we'll see him in the Avengers. You know, everything was kind of leading to something. And right now, it really, like, I don't understand what this is all for. Like, we have this character, new character, and this new character, and they're talking a little bit the multiverse, but there's also these big, giant, eternal gods. Like, how do they fit in? There's just so many things happening. I just don't know what the point of it is right now.
Yeah,
so,
and I think, too, in the first ones, there were also items that were focused on that were in all the movies. So we had, like,
the Tesseract.
And
man, what a throwback.
The Tesseract. And the Infinity Stones were in multiple movies. And I feel like everything was, you understood those things were connected. And the Tesseract was showing up in different stuff. And it's like, ooh, like, where is this gonna lead? And I remember when Infinity War was coming up, like, I remember having a conversation with someone in college where it was like, okay, so this is who has this Infinity Stone. Yeah. And this is who has this Infinity Stone. And it was like, we were tracking all the six different Infinity Stones and, like, doing all this. And there's none of that right now. It's just kind of like, oh, okay, these people are over here. And, like, Shang-Chi has the Ten Rings over here. And maybe he's connected with Doctor Strange.
Yeah, there's just, like, so many things. Like, Miss Marvel is in New Jersey. And what, like, Loki is, I guess, kind of with Owen Wilson somewhere.
In the TVA,
like, I don't know where.
Somewhere.
Like,
and then
there's so many things.
Moon Knight
the Eternals,
is in Egypt.
The Eternals, there's like, when it, so remember at the end of Eternals, there's like this big, like, thing that happens on Earth. Like, when does that happen? Is that, like, happening now? Or is Thor happening after? Like,
I just don't know.
I
feel like I need to
happening.
Like, sit down and find some Marvel YouTuber who, like, spends all their time on this stuff. Yeah. And look up, like, current Marvel timeline and have them explain the broad universe to me. Because, like, I totally agree. Like, it's hard to get excited for what's to come when you don't even understand what's happening right now. Like, yeah. I just don't understand how any of this connects. So I'm not really thinking, oh, I want this. And that is why I think the only thing that I'm really looking forward to, which I don't know if you can guess what I'm about to say, but it's Young Avengers. And that is the only thing I think I can look forward to right now, because it's so far the only thing that's been connected throughout. So there's been multiple things that have had. So we had Billy and Tommy, and then we have the kid from Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Are they going to sing their ice cream song and make their enemies just die from embarrassment?
And we have Ms. Marvel, and we have the girl from, whose name I don't even remember, from Multiverse of Madness.
Right, America.
America, yes. Wow.
Yes.
No wonder I forgot the name, blocked it out of my memory. But, like,
the word.
That is the only thing right now that I've latched onto that I can, like, be like, oh, we're going to get this character again in Young Avengers. Yeah. Like, they're building up Young Avengers. Oh, and Kate Bishop. Mm. So it's like, that is really the only thing that I have. I don't know if Thor's kid now is going to be in that
maybe.
Too.
I'm not sure
if she's part of Young Avengers. But it's like, that is the kind of thing that I'm excited for, because that's the only thing I feel like has connected across this stuff. Like, where is where's Sam Wilson going to fit? Like, when is he coming back? Where's Bucky supposed to fit in all this?
They just announced the new movie. They got to be somewhere.
They did. He's coming. My boy.
At this point, what I feel like is I'm just very indifferent, you know, like I feel like I'm just tired of talking about every movie like it's the end of cinema and also like it's the best thing. Like right now, I'm just watching. I vibed with a couple of the jokes in Thor. I didn't love really, like, probably wouldn't watch it again, but I'm just here and I watch it and I move on. And then I go see something else, you know?
Yeah, and that's exactly how I am. I think, like, I am just ambivalent to a lot of it now. I go, I see it, I log it on Letterboxd, and I'm like, great, thumbs up.
Yeah, and this is going to sound like I'm defending Marvel, which really it isn't, but first of all, there's always going to be like a blockbuster kind of thing that isn't that good. Like that's just kind of how it goes. We're never going to have it be like all the blockbusters are Dune. All right. I'm sorry. And you know, there are, as much as people want to say, there's not like creative stories being made. There's not original stories. There are lots of original things being made right now, whether that's some limited series or just movies in general. Like there's a lot of good things being made right now. I think even though I didn't love The Black Phone, like that's something that's kind of creative. I just think there's a lot of things being made right now if you look for it. And so if this is what is just going to fill this void right now of like the big pop culture thing, then fine. I don't really like, there's got to be something there. And maybe it's the only thing that will keep theaters alive too. So it's like, whatever.
And the other things aren't failing. Like Black Phone did better than they, because I follow some of the people who made that movie and they were like, oh my gosh, the movie's doing so good. And it, like, compared to something like this, obviously looks like shit on the box office numbers. But it's like,
it's doing well
for what it is. And it's a creative movie. And then you look at something like Everything Everywhere. And, like, that did very well. Great, and even, like Top Gun, feel like, is sort of separate from, you know, obviously it's within an IP,
IP, but not,
but it's separate from like what we're seeing with Marvel, because it's not just a machine that's pushing out content. Like those movies are still doing well. So I don't see Marvel as the death of cinema. The beef is stupid. I've always been tired of it.
This is not a good movie, but I think they'll make a good movie again. I'm not thinking, you know, like,
yeah, you
I'm
just,
sure I'll like one of their movies in the future, probably.
They're entertainment, and they're good entertainment. And that is my take on it, is like, you know, whether or not the movie is great, like, I sat there and I was entertained by it. And I think that is all I need to accomplish right now in my life. Like, I don't need it to be the next big thing. And, like, I guess for me, too, like, I had my Marvel already. Like, I had Cap.
I had my
Marvel. I had Cap. I had Bucky. Like, I had Iron Man. Like, I had my people that I liked. And, like, they're pretty much gone except for my guy Bucky. But
Bucky, stand strong.
Yeah, love him. I'm not as connected to these as I was. And so I guess for me, after Endgame, whether or not I'm excited about certain characters or not, I don't have the same sentimental attachment that I did to the original phases. And so,
which is also just like growing up, you know, like, I'm not like 15 anymore, you know, I'm sure some,
I don't know that I can like say that I'm with you in that, because I'm also like constantly tweeting about the Percy Jackson series that's coming
out.
Well,
but I think, but like, but those are characters that you like. I just think that you'll have a different relationship to things like that you that came out when you were younger. You know, like maybe if I was 15 now, I would like feel like so excited about these. Like, I don't know. I'm not really cued in to that culture, so I don't know.
Yeah, in eighth grade, it was Captain America. Now it's Kendall Roy. Like.
Oh, Kendall taking the place of Cap.
I just feel like you can't go into these movies expecting the next big thing anymore. You just gotta go into them and be like, look, I am here for a good time, and that's
and to
it.
Hear dad sing classic rock songs.
Yeah, like, you just,
that's what I'm here for.
If you think too much about it, then it just becomes this whole thing. And I think,
and I do think too, like, I've seen people like say that, and then people like comment back and be like, well, that shouldn't be how we look at art. Like, Well, there are good things being made, though. Like, I think there are good blockbusters being made. I don't think every blockbuster has to be good, you know? I don't think, like, I don't know. I
think it is important to, like, have conversations about the way stories are being told. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to have conversations about, like, the queer baiting and representation.
I think that's a big thing, for sure.
Themes in movies. I think that is still important. And I think you can do that without, like, constantly having to have conversations about these movies. Like, I feel like you can have a conversation, but it's not going to be the same conversation you're going to have about Top Gun, like, or about Dune, yeah, or about Everything Everywhere, like one of these other, yeah, bigger movies, like the Batman. Like, it's always going to be different, just because it's Marvel, and I think that's fine, and I think, yeah, people need to just realize that and get over it.
And maybe I'm a little too positive, but I do think that movies are in a good place right now, kind of, pretty much. I don't think Thor 4 is, like, is it good? Not really. But Thor the Dark World came out, and we're still doing, things are still happening. So I don't know. The one thing I did want to say too, the best joke was definitely the classic Thor adventure joke. I gotta say, big fan of that, because that was also a recurring joke, and that was very funny. I liked that joke. I just want to make sure I said that, because no one talked about that joke, and I thought it was really funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, we could maybe start outroing now to the question of the week, which for this week is, do you like Thor better pre or post Thor Ragnarok? So do you like him more in Thor 1 and 2 and the Avengers and Age of Ultron too, right? So those four, I guess, would be the ones he's in. Or do you like him more in Ragnarok, Infinity War, Endgame, and this movie, you know? Yeah, and there's four. That's like 4 and 4, unless I'm maybe forgetting something.
Yeah.
But yeah, so let us know. I think for me, maybe before this movie, I would have definitely said post-Ragnarok, even though I do think it's like a weird character change. But I do think, like, there's something about pre-Ragnarok, I guess, that has more consistency, you know? So maybe now, until I see what they do with him in the future, I would maybe say pre. Just because it feels more like a character than, like, he does what they need him to do.
He's more of a character than a caricature.
Wow. So wise.
Yeah. I definitely pre. Yeah. For sure. Even though I don't like Thor.
Though I do like, I think Infinity War, he's really cool.
Yeah, I agree with that. I didn't mind him in Infinity War. But I just,
he's better when he's not the main character. They know this.
Yeah.
Like,
but we have 4 Thor movies and only 3 Captain America movies. So.
Well, soon to be 4.
3 Steve movies. We only have 3 Steve movies.
Okay, 3
movies.
Steve and movies.
The third one was not even a Steve movie.
Honestly, the third one isn't really a Steve movie.
It was more of an Iron Man movie. It was like an Avengers movie. I don't know. I'm still mad about it. Don't get me going.
No, you're right.
But yeah, Thor, not a fan. I'm sorry to Houston, who I know loves Thor.
Well, maybe not anymore. I don't know.
Maybe
I
not
feel
anymore.
I feel like Thor's had like a pretty bad track record. Like, if you count like his movies, I don't know. But let us know what you think about Thor. Let us know your answer to the question. You can reach out to us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. If you can just search Secondhand Film Critics there, we'll pop up, or go to the links in the show notes. We can also email us. You can go to our website or answer on Spotify using the question and answers feature, which we will then read those answers in our next episode, which, at least for now, I think we'll probably go with this, but maybe we'll call an audible depending. I think I would give this a 75% chance that this episode happens, which we're reviewing tentatively Netflix's The Persuasion adaption. And then we were also planning on just talking about other Jane Austen adaptions, like Intent, like after that. So like a short review, other adaptions. But the movie, what is it, like 26% on Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah, the original trailer got a lot of, like, people hated it and were like very mad about it.
But all news is good news. All press is good. We can
all
get
press
that press.
Is good press. This is still going to be number one the day it comes out.
It will be,
I'm sure.
One.
I have not read the book. You have not, have you read the book?
Nope.
Okay.
So we're really prepared for this one, I think. Have you watched any of the other Persuasion adaptions?
I have not.
I have
watched 2005's Pride and Prejudice, and I have watched
a few.
The
but
first
not
Emma. Not the new Emma.
I've watched the new one, but not the first one.
I've seen, but it was like in like fifth grade, fourth grade.
Have you watched the BBC Pride and Prejudice with Colin Firth?
I have not. That one's dope. That's a dope movie. I just can't. I like.
You gotta. It's good. It's really good. I watched that when I was like 16, I think, and I loved it.
But I listen to Pride and Prejudice every night. Like, every
I think you should watch it. I know that, like, everyone likes that, so I think you would like it. Like, it's definitely different. I think it's probably a good rainy day movie, you know, or show.
It's like long though, right?
Yeah, it's like 6 hours maybe. It's like a mini series.
Great.
Yeah. So I would recommend miniseries. Gotta love miniseries. Yeah. So maybe I'll watch some more of those if we do this episode, but
we'll see.
Or maybe we'll just throw out a childhood classic.
It'll be that or How to Eat Fried Worms.
There we go. Because we have that one coming in August, but maybe we'll do that one now if we feel like it. You know, we're really on the ball, is what I like to
think. If the spirit leads us.
If the spirit leads us toward fried worms, we will go.
The God of Thunder says fried worms, then we'll do it. Wow. Hypocrisy, just astounding today. Anyway, I think that's all I have to share. Do you have any other words of wisdom?
Not words of wisdom, let me tell you. So I think we should just wrap it up and say thank you all for listening. And until next time, I'm Noah.
And I'm Kayla. And we're your secondhand film critics.